Hey, what's going on, everyone? And welcome back once again to The White Flag, a podcast about surrendering to Jesus in our hurried, manic, control-obsessed world. I'm your host, Jonathan Moynihan, teaching minister from Mosaic Christian Church, right outside of Baltimore, and I am here to help all of us adopt a posture of surrender, to get off that endless treadmill of spiritual exhaustion and performance and burnout, and learn how to adopt rhythms and practices that help us surrender with Jesus and experience that burden that he promised us, that burden that is free and light. So really excited to have you here with us today. It is our 45th episode. We are coming up on our 50th episode and our one-year anniversary. It's crazy to think about. Over the last couple months, I've been seeing an increase in new people listening to the show based on the analytics, which is pretty cool that I can do that. But if you are someone who's new to the show, man, I would love to have you rate, review, repost, do all that good stuff just to help us get the word out and let more people discover some of these practices that help them really come in contact with God in a whole new way. It's been great. Shout out to all of you who've reached out, DM'd, emailed, just letting me know how God is at work, especially those of you who are taking your time and going through. I had someone reach out to me. Shout out to Anthony. You messaged me last week about the episode about how Wordle was ruining my time with God, and you said it's been very apparent that there are little things that you allowed to accrue over time that were actually getting in the way of you connect with God. So Anthony, shout out to you. Thanks for sharing that. That's so real. I know there's many of us who never intend to put something else in the place of God, and yet we find that that happens. So to all of you who listen, to all of you putting these things into practice and just leaning into the presence of Jesus in your life and making space, almost like making monastic spaces in your domestic life, it's so beautiful. It's so great to hear. Thank you so much. Now, today, as you saw in the title of the episode, I want to talk about something that's hugely important to me, stillness and solitude, and I want to distill it down into a daily practice that I believe is really accessible and really powerful. And as you hear me talk about it, you might think, no, this sounds like cheap. It's not actually going to be that significant. I promise you it can be. But that's why our short conversation today is called Pocket-Sized Stillness and Solitude. That's what I want to talk to you today about, pocket-sized stillness and solitude. Now, to get started, I got to talk about this Canadian company that I just learned about a couple years ago, and then I did some more research in preparation for this episode. It's a company of two guys from Canada, and they sell air. Yes, you heard that right. They sell air. They take air from Alberta, Canada, apparently the air quality there, and there's another state park called Banff or something like that. But they take air from like the mountainous regions of Canada. They package it into bottles. They package it with like this aerosol sort of filter that goes out into like this mouthpiece. And each bottle is good for 160 breaths of fresh air. And they sell fresh air. And I was kind of shocked when I heard this. I'm like, how is there a market for this? But I did some more research and I found out that their fastest growing market for selling air online is in South Korea, China, and India, in part because there are less regulatory agencies monitoring air quality in that part of the world. And so people from those parts of the world tend to buy the fresh air and they want to get a huff of, they don't get high on it, but they want to get a huff of that air to see what is it like to really have fresh air. Now, here's the thing, folks. They sell their bottles for $32 a pop. Like they sell air for $32 a pop. And years ago, in 2017, when I read an article that indicated this, they were bringing in $300,000 a year of just selling air. It's insane. They even have one that's $10,000 that's diamond encrusted, so your air passes over a diamond, which is a little crazy. They have one from a mountain range in South Korea that is only $15, so it costs less. But yeah, there are people on the internet, folks, selling air, and even crazier, people are buying it. Now, if you're like me, your first reaction is serious skepticism. Like, are these snake oil salesmen pulling one over, people on the internet? You know, there's a part of me that even thinks this is kind of tragic and sad, the fact that there's even a market for fresh air because people are living in conditions where they don't have, like, access to actual good air. And then there's another part of me where I think this is totally crazy for people spending money on this because air is everywhere, right? Like, when I go to Shake Shack and spend money on a burger, shout out Shake Shack, would love for you to sponsor. Not really, but you know what I'm saying. Yes, I would love a sponsor. Free burgers, that's all I want. Just coupon, it's fine. Back to subject. When I go to Shake Shack, it's because I can't make that. I can do my best, but it's not going to be as good. But with air, like, I can breathe it, right? Like, paying for air just feels so foreign, even in developing nations, because there's air out there. Like, it just feels odd that people do it. So obviously a very weird company. I even saw a video of a rapper trying this out with the CEOs because he's like, I can't believe people actually buy this stuff. And he claimed it wasn't any different. So appreciate him being honest. Shout out to 2 Chainz. Anyway, we think it's crazy. It's kind of sad that people buy this stuff. But from another angle, I think we all kind of get it. Because while you and I aren't going to pay for air itself, some of us would pay good money if we could actually take the sensations of specific moments in our lives or even the air that we were breathing in a specific moment and bottle it up and then relive those moments again as robustly as we initially experienced them. I think people would pay for that. I know I would. Like if you could get a bottle of the air of the and the scent of the beach on your favorite vacation with the person you love, or if you could bottle up the scent and the sounds and the sensations of like the laughter of your best friends when you're hanging out that last night of college before you all go off to graduate, or if you could take the atmosphere of the room when you're at a worship service or a conference or just some sort of elevated spiritual experience and you could bottle that up and take a hit from it from time to time that would immediately transport you back in all of the sensations, like we would totally buy that. And so in a way, obviously selling air doesn't deliver all those things I just highlighted, but in principle, I think a lot of us understand the draw of this, of almost getting to touch or taste or experience something that feels far away from us and allowing us just to catapult or teleport is a better word, teleport ourselves back into that space. And the reason we get it is because there are moments in life when our senses and our humanity, even our spirit, are just operating in a unique space and in a unique way, and we don't get to experience that all the time. You know, a space of joy or a space of clarity, a space of accomplishment and satisfaction with everything that's going around you. There are just moments when you are saturated with these positive sensations that you just know, this isn't normal life. I want to savor this as long as I can. And those moments stand out because oftentimes, those deep sensations of joy or rest or clarity, they're not the norm. The mundanity of life is exactly that, mundane. You know, life is filled with chores and obligations and work assignments and homework and diapers to change and deadlines to hit. But it's those peak moments that really make you and I feel alive. You know, we don't say in the middle of the day on a Wednesday, yeah, I feel so alive when I'm eating my leftovers at lunch before working on another project, you know. It's in those high peak moments that we really feel most alive. And for many people, many of us, life is a rhythm of peaks and valleys, navigating the mundanity of the lows while chasing after or working toward the highs that really make us feel alive as people, that get us through the day. And in a healthy sense, it's okay to have those rhythms, right? Like it's okay to grind for a period so you can experience an extended rest. But what I see a lot of the times, especially in our very advanced and secular career-driven parts of the world, especially in this Baltimore, D.C. corridor. I was up in New York yesterday. I just see it all over the place. In an unhealthy sense, especially in America and in Western countries, rooted in careerism, performance, exceptionalism, many of us don't live this rhythm healthily. We don't live with like a healthy withdrawal away from the world then back into the world where we have extended times of vacation or rest or sabbatical. We live instead with this like panicked, frenetic weekly rhythm of grind all week and then live to get to the weekend so then we can finally take a break but actually not fill ourselves back up and then go right back to the grind and it inevitably leads to burnout. And this is why this rhythm of just constantly working for the weekend, work for the weekend, this is why we long for the ability to bottle up life's moments that I just talked about. Because so much of life is that endless treadmill of work and deadlines and obligations and appointments, stress, you know, trying to resolve that stress with Netflix and cell phones and then chasing after the weekend 1 week after the next. And the hard truth is, much of what I just said is life. I mean, life is the assignment of being blessed enough to live on earth, to have breath in your lungs and a mind to think and a body that functions. That is a blessing. But like we talk about so much on the show, much of what we settle for as quote unquote flourishing in our modern world is actually floundering when you contrast it with the promises of Jesus and the kingdom of God that we see in Scripture. And so sort of in light of all that, with that opening story of the heir and just the reality of there are healthy ways to withdraw from the world and then deeply engage the world, but most of what we see in the world right now is not healthy, not sustainable, not rooted in the ways of Jesus or the kingdom of God. So in light of all that, today I want to propose a very practical spiritual practice or tool that's similar to bottled air, feels too good to be true, but in a sense, it has the very real power to reframe how you navigate the sea of obligations and struggle that is your life by inviting God into small spaces that has the power to increase your faithfulness and, more importantly, your endurance as you mature in your walk with Jesus. There's a famous philosopher named René Descartes who famously said, "I think, therefore I am." And his point, and really what became true for people coming out of the Enlightenment period, men, women, both, it was this sort of existential phrase of belief that who we are and how we function derives from this idea that we think. Like our capacity to think really defines our identity. You know, that at our core, our ability to think is what confirms who we are. It confirms that we are true in existence. It's a very existential thing. But as one author points out, named Rich Velotis, shout out to Rich, he's a pastor in Queens, New York, writes this beautiful book that I'm actively in the process of reading right now that I'll reference in a bit. But he highlights that the modern world has kind of deviated and extended away from René Descartes' work and actually now aligns itself even more similarly to the Israelites in the Old Testament. Because as it was true for the Israelites in the Old Testament and for us today, we have gone beyond René Descartes. Instead of believing that I think, therefore I am, instead our modern world kind of implicitly believes and communicates out into society, not I think, therefore I am, but I work, therefore I am. I want to say that again. Instead of believing I think, therefore I am, and that is our big existential thought, our modern world kind of implicitly communicates I work, and therefore I am. And I think in our bones, we just know that our modern natural operating procedure is basically this idea that we know who we are, we know that we do exist, not because we have the ability to think, but because of what we do for work and what we can accomplish. I mean, when you ask a kid in our modern society, what do you want to be when you grow up? They answer with what their job is going to be. When you ask somebody, what do you do? They don't talk about the instrument they play or the books they read or how they love to cook. They talk about their job. When I pray over, the biggest thing stressing people out in my church context in the Baltimore, D.C. region, so much stress is rooted in their work. And so in our modern society, I think Rich Velotis accurately points out that our existential existence isn't really based anymore on just the fact we can think. We take that for granted. It's now based on our work and what we can do to perform in this world. That's it. So again, what I want to propose is this practice of inviting God into the still small spaces of life. And this is a practice of protest almost, that if done, I believe it will help you resist the pull of culture to drown you in the maelstrom of deadlines and dating and projects and parenting. And instead, it'll be a practice that kind of becomes a spiritual outpost in your daily routine that can help you actually be refreshed in moments you've likely overlooked. And so again, I'm calling this pocket-sized stillness and solitude. So here's what I mean when I say that. Here's the challenge that I want to give to you in light of this problem that we all feel in our society. I want you to look at your day, every day, once a day, especially for the next 7 days, and pick a time when you see your pace and your schedule and your demands of your life at their peak. Now, don't look for the time in your day when there's a lot of space. Look at your calendar, look at what's coming up at a part of your day when your pace and your schedule and the demands of you are at their peak, and choose preemptively going into the day to insert a moment of pocket-sized stillness and solitude as a means of centering yourself in the love of God, in His presence, and inviting him into that space as you continue to go through the biggest moments of your day. See, and I'm guilty of this too. I'm guilty of talking about this in a bad way that I think is disarming for people, or it's not disarming. It actually makes them feel like they can't do it, whatever the word is for that. I think too often, I myself talk like this and we think like this, that solitude and stillness are carved out when we have excess margin. But as I've learned in my own experience, it's actually when we're too busy to pray, like when we say I'm too busy, that we actually must be praying the most. And it's when we have the time for solitude the least that we need to make time for stillness and solitude the most. And so I want to encourage you again to, if you're willing, to create pockets of pocket-sized stillness and solitude where you set a reminder in the middle of your day. Maybe it's the same time every day. Where every day, once a day, between your hurried meetings, between the errands of getting your kid and setting up the times for you to knock out this project, that project, set up a moment for a pocket-sized stillness and solitude. I'm talking about a 1 to 3 minute time slot where you isolate yourself, you stop moving, and you invite the presence of God to invade your life again as a way of catching yourself from falling into reactive patterns of existence and instead inviting the Holy Spirit to be the thing that guides you as you navigate the biggest moments of your day. One of my favorite quotes by Henry Nouwen, you've heard me talk about him a lot, is something that he said 41 years ago. And he said, quote, "Noise is the great threat to faith in our modern world." And he said that 41 years ago. And you and I both know the world has not gotten slower. It has not gotten quieter. It has not gotten better at its entering into the still small spaces of our day. And so how much more is this true than it was when the late, great Henry Nouwen said it 41 years ago? And so here is what I want to encourage you to do. In 1 to 3 minutes, at the peak time of your day, I did this today as a practice just to make sure that I'm operating out of integrity and doing what I'm preaching and telling people to do. I want to encourage you to insert a pocket-sized moment of stillness and solitude, 1 to 3 minutes, where you do CPR on your soul. Okay, CPR. C stands for catch your breath. P stands for pause to breathe slowly. And R stands for reciting a biblical prayer. So this pocket-sized solitude, it's you withdrawn from people in your office, in a bathroom, go for a walk outside, or just in the hallway, close your eyes, put in your headphones, and allow God to almost give you a regeneration of the spirit, of the soul, as you navigate, boom, 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 meeting, 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 life, kids, all that stuff. Allow that pocket-sized stillness and solitude to be a moment of CPR for your soul. CPR. C, catch your breath. The goal here is that you would just slowly become aware of your breathing, feel your chest rise and fall, let your shoulders fall slack, let your arms fall down at the side. I mean, if you're walking around an office space with your phone up, your elbows are probably locked in, your shoulders are tight, you're typing a lot, just let all of it go loosey-goosey and catch your breath. Give yourself 10, 15 seconds just to breathe slowly, but allow yourself to calm down even before you worry about your breath. So that's the C, catch your breath. The P is pause to breathe slowly. That's an extension of catching your breath. Just slow down for a minute and realize that all these distractions are going to be there. You just give yourself 1 to 3 minutes to not worry about them. And it's almost a silent posture of prayer where you're inviting God in to say, God, I give you this moment. I give you these projects. I give you this stress. I give you this child that I'm trying to take care of right now. I'm giving you this classroom that I'm trying to be the teacher of. God, I invite you into this moment. So catch your breath, pause to breathe slowly. And the goal here is that your heart would even slow down over a span of 2 to 3 minutes. So that's the C, that's the P. And the last one is the R. Recite a biblical prayer. For me, it doesn't get any better than Psalm 23. You know, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Or you could even pray through the Lord's Prayer in Matthew 9. I think the other time it's referenced in Luke 11. I should look that up. Anyway, I'm not going to. It's fine. But catch your breath, let your breath just slow down a little bit, then pause to breathe slowly, lean into that space of doing nothing and inviting God, inviting the presence of God to take over just for a few minutes, and then recite a biblical prayer. And I'd encourage you to just read, get out the Bible app on your phone if you have to, read Psalm 23, even better, memorize Psalm 23, memorize some of the Psalms that we've done in our guided prayer episodes, but catch your breath, pause to breathe slowly, and recite a biblical prayer. allow God to give you CPR to this pocket-sized stillness and solitude. And here's the real beauty of it. When you do this, and I've just learned this in my experience, when you give yourself a moment to pause in between appointments, especially at the peak of your day, you don't move on from your solitude and stillness. You actually bring it with you into the next space of the world that you occupy. You get to then operate out of the overflow of this space, even if it's just for a moment, and you really catch yourself and get exposed internally of how you're reacting to things instead of inviting the presence of God to kind of be in control of them. And I think it's so powerful when leaders or teachers or parents or spouses or friends or college students, when you take a moment to acknowledge this is the peak, busy, crazy part of my day, and yet I'm going to pause and allow God just to give me CPR real quick, to catch my breath, pause to breathe slowly, and recite a biblical prayer, to be this little pocket of renewal within myself as I've been eroded and conformed and pushed all day by culture and by people and just by sin in the world, the sin that you and I contribute into the world and the sin that we receive from other people. But when you do this, man, you bring solitude and stillness with you. And I think it leads to a new version of self if you make this a rhythm ongoing. Listen, the mystery of that bottled air company, I said this before, is that people are spending money on something that is readily available to them 24/7, 365. Like air is around them all the time, and yet they're still spending money on it. But the truth is, you and I do the same thing. We do the same thing when we hyper-compartmentalize prayer and solitude with God, and we kind of isolate it to be something that can only be done in special packaged manner, instead of realizing that it is a gift of God, the breath of God. It's not just air. It's even more than air, because it's around us all the time, that we have the attention and presence of the creator of the universe on us because of our faith in Jesus. And so instead of compartmentalizing it into thinking it has to be in this slot or that slot, the goal of this episode is just to help you realize thinking that you can't just go to God with that 1 minute you have between appointments, it's as foolish, in my opinion, as someone buying air online when they can just breathe it in deeply where they're at. So we have been promised in Scripture that we can come boldly to the Father because of our faith in Christ, which means that especially in our hurried states, we need to invite Him in with this pocket-sized stillness and solitude where we just go into CPR, where we just slow down, catch our breath, breathe deeply, and slowly embrace our own limitations and our own humanity in those minutes of silence, and then just recite a biblical prayer. What an opportunity that is, even if it's just 1 to 3 minutes every day in the middle of your day, to have this practice. It's almost a practice of counterformation as we live within the waters of the patterns of our world. So I want you to give that a shot this week if you're up for it. I would love for you to contact me even and let me know how your pocket-sized solitude throughout the day. When are you instituting it? How is it making a difference? How is God meeting you? How is it shaping your time with God in the morning or informing the way you end your day? I would love to hear all about these things. But I want to hear, how does God work when we give Him even just those little moments at the peak parts of our day where we can catch our breath, pause to breathe slowly, and just recite a biblical prayer, get centered on His word? Because I think ultimately, we do need to deeply engage the world. We've been called to that as followers of Jesus. We need to live life in the kingdom while seeking to reach the world and make a difference in the world. But we have to do it sustainably. And I think pocket-sized stillness is just another little tool that we can have in our spiritual tool belt to help us grow in the likeness of Jesus, because I see Him withdrawing constantly to be with the Father and then deeply engaging the world. And if He needed these breaks, so do we. I'd love to hear from you. You can always DM me on Instagram at jonathan.moynihan, or even better, hit me up on my website, jonathanmoynihan.com. There's a button there that says contact me. Click it. I'd love to hear from you. But in the meantime, thanks so much for listening. Hope you guys have a great week. I would love to hear from you. And don't forget to rate, review, and repost as we get closer to 50th episode. Thanks so much, guys. Talk to you later.